Praise God. Praise God. You're welcome once again to church. This is year 2026. And Happy New Year. And the happiness in the year is not for rice and chicken. Hallelujah. The happiness in the year is that it's a new beginning and an opportunity for us to do things properly as we work with God. When I was growing up, and things are going to happen so fast. Okay? So, if you remember the declarations of 2025, we said things are happening so fast. This is the year that things will be happening so fast. Hallelujah. And one thing that you have to note is that you have to be ready. So I'm going to tell you three scenarios. And I honestly remember that today is Family Sunday. I didn't know that you have a question, but I'll take this right off. I don't know who sent it, but I'll take it in the course of my speaking. I will take it. When I was growing up, I was a member about some 40 years ago. I was a member of the Boy Scout movement of Nigeria. And we have a motto, be prepared. Hallelujah. And I think I was in primary 5. So then we were supposed to go for a 3-day camp, supposed to leave home and go for a 3-day camp. And that means all your mothers will have to leave you. I mean, I was in primary 5, probably was, I was at that, probably 8 years old then. We had to leave home. And so we left the main city and went away. So some people, their parents brought them, and there was this particular boy. Every day of the 3 days that we spent in camp, his mother was at the gate. So we used to call him Little Dayo. Up to today, he's Little Dayo. Because everybody felt, but then we were in primary 5, so you can understand why the mother was like that. But then, we were being tutored and we were being told to be prepared. Hallelujah. We were taught how to knit knots, make knots, that if I tie you, you cannot release yourself. In primary 5. We were taught how to set when we throw knives. So what is it that you leave home for 3 days and your mother will come and stay by the gate and she will bring food? So what was the essence of the camp? And then the rest of us were enjoying ourselves. We would carry firewood, we'd go into the forest, carry firewood, do bonfire, run around the fire, the thing that they will never allow you to do. Hallelujah. Amen. So if today my children want to run around fire, I'll just be laughing. I have run around fire without my mother there, nothing will happen. Amen. Hallelujah. But we have to be prepared. That's what I'm saying. Things will happen so fast. Another thing, I have a laptop that I use for my work. Believe you me, when I close my laptop, it does not sleep. So you know when you close the laptop, sometimes some people make their laptop sleep. Sometimes they make it hibernate. Sometimes when you close the laptop, it will shut down. My laptop does not sleep. It does not hibernate. It does not shut down. Now you put ammo. I don't know anything. My laptop does not sleep. It does not hibernate. It does not shut down. So when I close it, believe you me, if I get a call from the office that there is something that you need to attend to, I open it, I am ready to work. That's what being prepared is all about. Hallelujah. As some people say, yeah, you are wasting, you are running down battery. I say, no. Because when they call me, I know that they are calling me in an emergency. Okay? So when they call me, they are calling me for an emergency. I cannot afford the time that laptop will be put in. You know, sometimes you will be putting and taking. So once I open it, I want it to respond, and I walk. And that's how things are going to be this year. So everybody that has laid before God a request, things will happen so fast that there's no time for you to boot. So you have to be ready, okay? You have to be ready. When we come to church and when we come for Bible school, that's not the time to be reading the Bible passage for the day. You have to come and be ready. And the best thing to come is just have every revelation, everything written down. So when I was in the university, there was this friend of mine that kept always, everything she would write it down. Then one day I said, why do you always write everything down? He said, well, there's a reason why a pencil and a paper was made. So what's the essence of a pencil and a paper if you will not make use of it? You start writing down. You write down, write down, write down. Amen. So that you can run with whatever, and then you don't need to stress yourself for memory's sake. But I'm saying in 2026, Psalm 32, for those of us that were here, was it on the 31st? And on the first, Psalm 32, are you going to display or say, be prepared? I've turned twice now, and I don't see any, that's the third time. I don't see anything. Number four, number five, number six, Psalm 32, verse 8. Thank you. Don't worry, I know the challenges you have. And in all this, you are doing well. Verse 8. Psalm 32. Verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Give me the New Living Translation. That's the one I like. It says, have you seen it? NLT. It says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Now, the person that is being guided along the best pathway for his life is somebody that is on a journey and has somewhere in mind that is going. Right? If you're not going anywhere, you can't be on the road and be asking people for direction of where you're not going to. Hallelujah. Now he's saying that the Lord will guide you along the best pathway for your life. He says, I will advise and I will watch over you. And then the next verse says that do not be like a senseless horse or a mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. Hallelujah. Says, do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. And I think on the first, we looked at what the bit and the bridle is for. It's in the nose of the horse, okay, for you to control. So if you want the horse to go to the left, you will pull the bridle in the opposite direction and then it will go. And sometimes when it's stubborn, you have to jack it hard so that, because it causes pain, you have to jack it down so that you go the right way. But God is saying that I'm leading you in the best pathway for your life. You just need to be submitted and to be submitted to the things I'm telling you to do. Hallelujah. And then we looked at this morning when we were looking at Bible school, we were looking at Matthew 4. Matthew 4 and we looked at the fact that Jesus told Peter and who else? Peter and Andrew. Are you sure it's Peter and Andrew? Is it Peter and Andrew? You don't know? I don't know, that's what I'm asking. Matthew chapter 4 verse what? And all of us were there together. Matthew 4. And verse 18, it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And what did they do? It says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Hallelujah. Meaning that they were ever ready. Hallelujah. He said he saw them, they were fishers, two brothers, Peter and Andrew. And then he said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And they did not say, give me some time, let me think about it, let me go home and see my wife, let me tell my child. He said they followed him. And that's what this year is all about. If you see the best of God, it will be that you are ready to walk with him at the instance of his word. Hallelujah. At the instance of his word. in and then in the book of Nehemiah, going over all these things for the sake of those that were not around and are not listening to. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 2, and I think we took the prayers from the night, from here, right? For the crossover night, we took the prayers from Nehemiah chapter 2, and I'm going to read it for you from verse 4. So Nehemiah was standing before the king, and then this is the conversation that he had. I'm going to go from verse 4 to verse 8. It says, then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Okay? So he was talking to the king, and then the king said, what do you want? And then Nehemiah said, I prayed to the God of heaven. Hallelujah. And I said to the king, so the king asked him a question, he prayed, and then he spoke to the king. Hallelujah. All in the space of a few seconds. Okay? You have to be ever ready. Be ever prepared for anything and anything at all in the spiritual realm. Okay? So he said, the king asked me a question, and he made a prayer. And then he answered the king. And then he said, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting with him, how long will the journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him at a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let the letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through it till I come to Judah. And a letter to Aspha, the king of the forest, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the hand of God upon me. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, don't think that it was a freeborn. Nehemiah was not a freeborn. If you look at it, they were in captivity. And then he said, and he said to the king, I want to go and build the city of my father's tomb. And then the king said, What do you want? Make a request. And then he said, I want to go and build the city of my father's tomb. And then he was very deliberate in the things that he was asking for, and he was very articulate. And why was he very deliberate and articulate? First thing first, he prayed to God. The king asked him what you want, he prayed to God, and then he spoke to the king. And now he's saying that, look, even when I get there, tell the keeper of the forest where the timber is, so that he will give me timber to be able to do the things I want to do. And he says here that in verse 8, he says, and the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And according to the good hand of God upon us, we will do things that are beyond the extraordinary in Jesus' name year 2026. We will do things that ordinarily, if you look at yourself, you'll be like, how did I do this? And then we'll do things, we'll get approvals from places where we ought not to, ordinarily. We'll get approvals from there to be able to achieve our purpose. And when we were looking at January this year, in the last day of December, we said, this is our year of marvelous help. Hallelujah. And we will get approvals. Amen. Approvals. Amen. From places that we do not expect. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But then we need to do one thing if we will get those things. So we'll get approvals by the grace of God. Let's open to Psalm 16, verse 5 and verse 6. Because this year, don't be in contention with anybody. Huh? Because God has gone ahead of us. He says, I will lead you along the best pathway for your lives. So wherever he says you go, you go. Hallelujah. But you will not know where God is saying you should go if you are not consistent with him. Psalm 16 says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. you maintain my lot. The lines are falling to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. He says, the lines are falling to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Hallelujah. And if you understand what it means by the lines falling for you in pleasant places, and I'll use two things. I'll explain to you, and then I'll explain to you in the scriptures as well. So he says, this is just a typical example. He says that assuming that you have a parcel of land that you are supposed to share with somebody, okay, and the person comes and the person looks at the site, and you know, land is very funny. Just like in the land of Goshen, he says the Egyptians were in darkness, and then the Israelites were in light, and then they were in the same land. But their boundary is very, I wish I was in that situation. It means that just like this door is, outside of this door, you see darkness. And here, everything is light. Just like when it's night. Okay? Now, he's saying that the lines will fall for you in pleasant places. Now, so sometimes when you look at land, you can tell that this portion of this land, that there will be this kind of minerals here, or there will be kind of resources on this side. And then somebody looks and says, oh, I know that there are resources on that side. And then he insists that, look, I want this part that is that looks fatter. Okay? Now, and then you say, okay, no problem. Take the one that looks fatter. And then you take the other side. And then because of the way God is, the one that looks, that doesn't look fatter to you actually has mineral deposits underneath. Amen. And the one that looks fatter can only sustain whatever it can sustain, but does not have the mineral deposit because God knows what he's doing. So if he says the lines will fall in pleasant places for you this year, it's because he understands, and once he apportions it to you, you need to walk with it. Amen. Hallelujah. In the scriptures, if you go to the book of Genesis chapter 13, Genesis 13, and I read from verse 1. Okay? It says, Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. So, I think, who's the father of Abraham? Terah, the father of Abraham, and then he had three sons. He had three sons. And the father of Lot, I think it's Aaron or something, died. Let me see. The way you are looking. So the father of Lot died, who was the brother to Abraham. Okay? And they were still in Abraham's father's house. And so he took everybody and they moved. So they moved. So as how, and then Abraham's father died, okay. But because Lot was living with his father, okay, it now became Abraham's responsibility. And then he was going with Abraham to everywhere that he was going. And so in Genesis chapter 13, it talks about the fact that verse 2 says Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south, as far as Bethel, to the place where he stayed had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flock and herds and tents. It says, now the land was not able to support the two of them, okay, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife, okay, between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I go to the left. And then the Bible says, this is where I'm going. It says, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered and everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as we go towards Zoar. So Lot looked and saw that, this side is very green. Okay? And then he says, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. Okay? And they separated from each other. So this is what the lines falling in pleasant places is all about. So somebody looks at it and says, this one will favor me. He didn't even say, this one, let's divide it in two. He just chose, okay? And you see, where your strength diminishes, that's where God's power becomes evident. Hallelujah. So don't bother to strive or contend with anything for anybody. Hallelujah. In this 2026, the Lord is our help. He says, he told, when Nehemiah makes us to understand that, he said, it was because of the good hand of the Lord upon him that made the king grant all the requests. So we can't walk this year ignoring the fact that we need God. Hallelujah. We should not walk this year ignoring that the hand of God upon us will make a difference. Hallelujah. Amen. I think when we were in the Power Convention, Reverend Moyo was talking and giving us the testimony concerning his son. He said his son does not know how to speak Yoruba. I mean, he doesn't know how to speak Yoruba, but his son comes home from an exam and he has 100% Yoruba. He doesn't even know. So he asked his son, he said, how did you get 100%? And his son said, well, when I looked at the question, I had to dig deep on the inside of me. If the inside is empty, there's nothing to dig. I've told you. So he said, when he saw the question, he had to pray in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit should help him so that he will write the right things and he will do the right things. And then he came up to 100%. I'm sure some of you will not believe it. But it's a living testimony. Because when he got to his son and said, how did you get 100%? You know? So, amen. And I said, me, I've been in an exam room before. And I even to dig deep, everything was blank. Everything was blank. I just slept off. And I said, well, God, thank you that I'm coming back next year. And I went back the following year and I passed. Hallelujah. Amen. But then he said that he looked on the inside and then he prayed to God and then God supplied the answers. Amen. There's no story about it. And I've told you before that when I was in school, my brother has this gift. If he takes your notebook, it will start for you the things that your lecturer will ask you in your exam. He will just call, say, bring your notebook. And then we'll start. The first time he did it, he said, bring your notebook. So he started it. I was looking at him. He now said, see, all those ones that have every star, read them very hard. These ones that are minor, don't worry about them. So in my mind, I'm looking at this boy that when we told him to go and write WAEC, and they gave him his result, he said, when his result came out, he said, they gave me. You know that kind of thing. Nobody ever scores bad mark. They always give you bad mark. When you score you one, you are the one that scored. He said, they gave me. Then this one is not marking book for me. Something like. So what I did, I first of all read everything. I read my book. And I was using one corner of the eye to look at the one I starred. So I went to the exam room. When I got to the exam room, everything that the boy starred, everything, were the compulsory questions. Hey, I said, my God. Hey. I said, God, are you showed up? But luckily, I read. So the next time he called for my book, I took it to me, Jejeli. And when he finished, I said, are you sure that you were concentrated where you were marking it? He said, yes, there's no problem. That's the way God works. So if it has happened to me, I could relate to what Reverend Moyo was saying. It wasn't me directly, it was my brother. And he did it for me, he did it for my sister. And he was still in secondary school, or it was about writing his wife when he did that. And then he just wrote those words, no problem. But I'm saying that when God is showing up for you, don't take it for granted. Now let me go back to the story of Abraham. So now Lot chose the best part of the land for himself. And then he left Abraham. And then see what happened. In verse 14. And then God showed up. So when people think that they have drained you, or when people think that they've got the best from you, they are cheating you, in quotes, whether they know it or not, or they just want to muzzle you, then God will show up. It says, the Bible says, and then God, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lord had separated from him. So, I mean, number one, the reason why Abraham said, look, let us separate, was because he did not want there to be strife between him and the Lord, or between his headsmen and Lord's headsmen. So he didn't want any problem. So even when Lot was choosing the best part to go, and he included Sodom and Gomorrah, it was fine. He said, okay, no problem. Because the intention from day one for Abraham was that there should not be any strife. Okay, so whatever he chose for himself, he was fine with it. And now God, Abraham did not tell God to come and show up. But Abraham was just living life on the terms of God. If God said, leave the land, leave your father's house to a land that I will show you. And he was simply obeying. Now he says, and the Lord said to Abraham, after the Lord had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I'll make your descendants as the dust of earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Now, this is the interesting thing. Verse 11, he says, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and then Lot journeyed, what? To the east. Amen. And then they separated. Now in verse 14, it says, and the Lord said, I want to be sure you're saying the same. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him. So where did Lot go? Eh? Be bold now. He went to the east. Uh-huh. So, and then the Lord said, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. So even when people think that they've played the fast one on you, even the things that they own belong to you. That's what happened here. Lot journeyed eastward. And then God is saying, Abraham, look here. Anyone you can see, anything that you can see belongs to you. In Psalm 16 that we were reading, Psalm 16 and verse 5-6, it says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions are falling to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Hallelujah. Amen. So if Abraham had been contending with Lot for the land that was towards the east, that looked very fertile, he would have lost it. Hallelujah. That's why we say the Lord is our portion in the land of the living. Amen. So God gave to him everything that he did not have, plus the things that Lot had. Hallelujah. So Lot had gone, he was standing there, and God suddenly showed up and said, look, anything you see, as far as you can see. Amen. And in this time that we are in, hallelujah. And you know, for me, so if you know how geography is, if you look at the horizon, if you look at the sky, and then you see that the sky is touching the ground somewhere, you and I cannot tell where that horizon is. You understand what I'm saying? So if you look now, you see the sky, you say, you can't say that the sky you are seeing is over VI or whatever. As far as I care, it probably could be outside Africa. Hallelujah. But God is saying, as far as you can see. And we need to begin to prep ourselves up in the spiritual realm. Amen. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. So the things that we can see with our spirit mind, amen, that's the things that God is giving to us. He says he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above that which you can dare to imagine or think. Abi? According to his power that is at work within us. If we let God lead us, what we are looking for, we will get much more. Amen. If we let him lead us, what we are looking for, we'll get much more. And as we were looking at, we're looking at Matthew 4 this morning, when Christ said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I said one thing. He was talking to them in a language that they understood. They were fishers already, okay? And he was calling them to come and be fishers of men so they can relate with what he was asking them to come and do. Hallelujah. So if God is talking to me today, I say, even you are, don't worry. Come and connect the whole world for me. I understand what he means. Hallelujah. Because that's what I am doing. Amen. And if he's talking and say, come, follow me, come and teach men. Hallelujah. Some of us will be able to relate with it. Abi? Hallelujah. And if it's for us to come and beautify the life of people, some of us will be able to relate with it because that's what we do. So if God tells me to come and beautify somebody's life, I would just be laughing. Because if you give me Mr. Sajeli's face to help him paint, it will end up, I don't have that picture. His face will be lighter than his neck if I do the painting. But if somebody else does the painting for him, you will not know that. You say, are you this fine? Even Mrs. Sajeli will say, no, there's something else. Abi? Have you seen when people do, when you take your picture and then they put on an app and it removes all the spots on your face? I think when my mother was going to be 80 years old, the photographer, when they went to do, what do you call this, photo shoot. When they went to do photo shoot, the photographer now sent it to me that because I wanted to use it for program. And I said, no, this is not my mother. I said, lie, send it back. He said, no, I have touched it. I said, did I ask you to touch it? This is not. I say, my mother has freckles on her face. If you don't see those freckles, it's not my mother. So when they say, come and identify your mother, I say, no, it's not my mother. I said, send me back the original picture. Hallelujah. And then he sent it. I said, this is my mother. Hallelujah. So God was saying to them, I will make you fishers of men. And they could relate with being fishermen. They could understand that they don't go out. There are times where you launch into the deep, okay? And so when he appeared to them in the book of Luke, when he had appeared to them again in the book of Luke and said, launch out into the deep. What did he say? He said, we have toiled all night, because it's what they grew up with. We have toiled all night and we did not catch anything, because they know that's the time that the fish will come to the shoal. And then you can catch. But they said, at the instance of your word. Hallelujah. At the instance of his word. Which was what the same thing that they did in Matthew chapter 4 here. When he said, follow me and be fishers of men. He said, immediately they left what they were doing. In this year 2026, I hope that you are prepared. Hallelujah. You are prepared to be truly an effulgence of God's glory. It's not the year that they will say, come. And let us go. And then you say, wait, I'm coming. Because by the time you say, wait, I'm coming, the train will have moved. Hallelujah. Amen. I was telling you that it is unusual for us to hold a service on the 1st of January. It is unusual. Hallelujah. I can't remember when. I don't think I have ever held any service, if my memory serves me well, in Lagos on the 1st of January. But this year, he said, have a service. Hallelujah. And then, some people were not around. Some people were around, but you see, that's the beauty of God. Because for the people that were around, he gave an instruction. And then we need to obey. Amen. And so we have to be prepared. Leave every weight aside. Anything that can so pull you back, just leave them aside and focus on him. When he's giving us instructions, don't think of it and say, no. Don't be like that woman that couldn't leave her son for 3 days. Hallelujah. And you see, in Ibadan, Reverend Baba Molen was telling us something. He said, it's not everything that is right is for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, not everything that is right. So what are the things that are right? What was the example you used? Were you there? Were you in Ibadan? Were you there? What example did you use? You can't remember. You are in the spirit. So, I will remind you now. Was it Pastor Moyo? It was Pastor Moyo. Sorry, it wasn't Baba. It was Pastor Moyo. Baba said something else. I'll come to Baba's room. So Pastor Moyo said, Reverend Moyo said, it's not everything that is right that is meant for you. So then he gave us the example of Samson. He said that it is not wrong. For you to cut your hair. So, I've cut my hair. Grandpa, are you touching your hair? Why are you like this? He says, it's not wrong for you to touch your hair. But for Samson, cutting his hair was not for him. So it's not everything that is right that is for you. What is for you is everything that God has instructed you to do that is meant for you. He said before, for Samson, if you cut your hair, it's a problem. And if for the Levites, they are not supposed to also do that. Abi? They are not supposed to do it. So he says, so don't live your life based on, Sibi is right, I can do it. No. You have to be like, what is God saying? Hallelujah. There was a time when I was starting my career and everybody was running this certification. And it looked like if you didn't do that certification, you were not going to move forward. And then I sat down and I said, God, what will you have me do? God said, don't do the certification. Ah. I said, but everybody is doing it. He said, don't do it. So I went, I got what do you call it, all the dumps for the certification. I was trying to read. I will read. I'll get halfway. I'll burn out. I'll read. I'll get halfway. I said, God, and I said, God, what did you say? He said, I should not do it, Abby. I'm burning out. I'm not doing it. And I didn't do it. And up to today, I didn't do it. Up to today, I don't have it. And I'm working. Because it's not for everybody. What is God telling you? All God is telling Pastor Divine is what is different from what he's telling me. Because we are designed for different purposes. Hallelujah. And the Lord will help us indeed. This year, you have to be ready. You have to be ready to walk with his instruction for you. Hallelujah. Amen. We have heard the story several times of the man that was driving his vehicle and then God told him to go to the wrong side of the road. And then he did not listen. The second time, he said, go to the other side of the road. And he thought, he said, go to the other. And then he went to the other side of the road. And by the time he got to the other side of the road, where oncoming vehicles are supposed to be, a truck that had lost control came to the side that he would have been on. And then that would have ended it. Now, was it right for him to be on the other side of the road? No, it wasn't. But by the God's standards, at that point, it was right. Hallelujah. The things that are right are determined by God. The things that are meant for you are determined by God. Hallelujah. If you are listening to God, the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. Amen. So for this year, be ready, be prepared. God, things will happen so fast. There is no time for I am coming. Hallelujah. There is no time for I am coming. When it comes to the things of God, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. When it comes to the things of God and obeying his word, it has to be an immediate attention, an immediate actioning or carrying out God's word. And God will help us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray while we are seated. Let us pray and thank him that indeed in this year we understand truly the way he leads us. We have been able to explain the story of Abraham. Even though Abraham was looking for peace and said, look, anything you take, it belongs to you. I don't want any trouble. And then God comes and shows us that even the one that you have given away belongs to you. That's what is going to happen to you today because you are obeying the word of God. You are obeying his instruction. He says, with the good hand of God upon your life, every request you make this year will come to pass. It will be approved in heaven and it will be approved on earth in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you all the glory and praise. Let your name be exalted, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to listen attentively to this question. I know, you know, it's Family Sunday, first Sunday of the year. Oh, sorry, first Sunday of the month. And ideally, we're supposed to come with questions and we are supposed to answer those questions. For the next 3-4 minutes, I'll take this question and we'll answer it together. This saying that, I don't know who wrote it, so don't worry. It's not anybody that I know. And you cannot know it as well. It says, in a situation where the parent, mother of your wife-to-be tries to make decisions or change your plans by influencing us through your partner, what should you do? Is it a sign to leave the relationship? Then it says, should this person is a professor. He wrote should, stroke, must, hair. I take responsibility of a father because I'm dating their child. In such a case, what should I do? If you were me, do you understand what the question I've asked? You don't understand. The first one is that this person has somebody that is whispering to in the air, will you marry me? I will marry you. Let us go. We are marrying. And he's saying now that the mother of the wife that he wants to marry is trying to dictate the things that they do, they will be doing. Hallelujah. So he's trying to make our own will, the mother's will. Oh, Muna, rejoice. Come, the two of you, come. Where is that Oba boy? Oh yeah, what's your sister's name? Reward. Sewa. It's really something too. What's her name? It's really something. You rejoice. See this, Mr. Sajeri. Please, Mr. Sajeri's syllabus has not changed though. How are you, sir? Okay. So, Oba wants to marry. Oba wants to marry. Where you go? So that they will not think. Thank you. Oba wants to marry Sewa. This will come. Where you go? This will come. He's able to do it now. I can do all things. Oh, yeah, come now. That's how these mothers behave. She's. Kadu. So this is the question. Oba wants to marry Sewa. This is Sewa's mommy. Oba is saying now that Sewa's mommy is trying to tell Sewa and Oba what they'll be doing with themselves in their home. What should the person do? Is this a sign for Oba to go back to his mama JJ when you're going to meet your mommy? Run. Run, go and meet your mommy. Run from Allah. Go and meet mommy. He's saying that, is it for me to run away from from this relationship? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, mommy. That's the question number one. So, because this law is influencing Sewa in that relationship, the person is saying, should I run away? Number two, he says, must I take responsibility of a father because I'm dating their child or child? This person says, we know too much. Must I take the responsibility of a father because I'm dating their stroke, his child? In such a case, what should I do? So if you were me, whoever wrote this, if you were me, and everybody should know it, whether you are married, for all of you that are not married, you have no responsibility. You have no responsibility to somebody that you're not married to. Okay? It is not your responsibility. If you choose to do it, it's by choice. So if you want to marry and they say, come and send our daughter to school. So I one of my brothers, when he was going to marry, he was going to marry in the East. When they started sending the list of what they will bring, it's my blood brother. It's not. They put bungalow. They put all those things. My brother called my father and said, "Sir, I am not marrying again." Now, what was his problem? He said, "For them to have sent that list, it's not that their daughter did not see it." And for their daughter not to be able to tell them that this thing is not realistic, then he's not a realistic person. Are you getting what I'm saying? That the person that he wants to marry will have known that this is what they are sending. They should have told them. And honestly speaking, my father was begging him that don't worry, maybe it's me that will do it. He said, no, sir, don't do it. I am not doing it again. Amen. Hallelujah. Now for the other one, okay? See, in this life, you have to order your life the way you want it to run. So if at this instance, I mean, I would not tell you that, I don't know how bad it is. Time is up. I don't know how bad it is, but I will not tell you that it's not a sign for you to leave the relationship. It's a sign for you to take ownership and leadership. Now, that it will come in various ways. But you see, the person that you need to listen to and need to really talk to is the person you want to marry. Hallelujah. If you cannot, at that point, be able to relate with the person you want to marry and the person will get to understand, then I will tell you, that's when you should say that this is a sign that there's going to be a problem. Okay? And it's very important. I know of a couple, they were already married. And then the father-in-law will come to the house and he'll be telling his son-in-law that this is what you must do, this is what you must do, blah, blah, blah. And then the son-in-law, out of respect, could not talk to the man. He just called his wife and said, please, can you just help me tell your father that this is my territory. Anything he wants to do in his territory, he can do. But this, he cannot come to my house and be telling me. But he did not go and meet the man. So even the girl, the wife, could not go and tell her father. His respect. Mind you, there's no disrespect in all this. What did the girl do? She went to call her mother. She said, please let me tell daddy that where you are is where you are. This is our house. Hallelujah. And that's why we always say that you should have a good foundation. When people are cutting and when they are trying to get somewhere, they'll be doing it behind the burning bush. They'll be hiding. They will not tell anybody. Huh? They will go and hide. And then all of a sudden they'll come. I'm going to marry next week. Ah, you're going to marry next week. It's not because anybody wants to poke into your business. It's because so that you can learn how to manage these things. See, they say experience is the best teacher. It's not that you should experience it. Some people have experienced it. They will be able to tell you and guide you. But some people always say, it's just like when you tell people, don't go to Obodo Imbo. There's Wala Del. You'll be washing plate, or you'll be washing dead body. They say, no, I want to go and wash that dead body. You don't have to. We have to understand that these things are, if you are running a partner, you are trying to get married to somebody, and then somebody's already telling you what to do, it's a red flag. You need to take ownership. And if you cannot take ownership, then I think you just leave, because it'll be a problem for you in the future. And for me, and I don't know, for me, it is not your responsibility to take care of anybody that you have no commitment to. Okay, so because dating, see, I used to, there was this lady, because she was dating, I'm supposed to stop service at 11. Because she was dating, she would leave her father's house, go to the boy's house, go and wash plates, go and do cutting. This house, so there's rats there, go and buy a rat killer. And then was living as if, and I was laughing, I said, this thing you are doing, it's not responsible. You can tell the guy who's that guy, see, this cotton, change it. This one, do it too. But this, you are assuming what is not your problem. See, when I was dating my wife, when I go to see her, she will go, she'll buy gas, put it in the boot. Gas cylinder, those big ones. Then when she comes, she will carry it. And then I want to go and help her to carry it. She said, no, carry it too. It's not your. Why would you want to help me carry it? No, it's my responsibility. Because even said me, I was just forming good boys so that maybe they will add it to my book that this boy is good. Because even the gas, it's not that they will use it to cook for me. They will cook for me. I just said, this is how my mother trained me. I have home training. Go. I'll go and carry it. She said, no, don't carry it. It's my responsibility. So she'll carry it. I'll be looking at her. She'll take it inside. I said, I found a wife who will carry this thing very well. When I go married, the very first week, my wife went to buy gas. And then she came back. Now I entered the house. She said, Mr. D, there's gas in the boot. I said, what? He said, there's gas. He helped me carry the gas in the boot. I said, I don't understand. Why? He said, why should I carry? Didn't you used to carry it? He said, but it's different now. Now it is your responsibility to help me. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I could come out gently go and carry. Because now, this gas now, they used to cook for me. So there's no for me. I just carry the gas. I put it inside. And then since from that time, I can't get brain. So make these guys know they finish. Hallelujah. So please, when you are dating, look, you need to talk to people that have been there. Some people tell you, what is counseling not about? Counseling is not to tell you how your life should be done. It's just to open and guide you. So that you see the way these things are done. And by the scriptures. So by the time you have packed your load inside the person's house, you are already fixing cutting. In fact, that person that was fixing cutting, the day they will fight, he sees the same man they came to call. The guy called me. I'm done with this girl. Did you know it? She didn't cook last night because she will go and cook. She will cook soup, cook everything. No, it's not done. Hallelujah. They will say, I'm old school. But those are the things that will save you. Hallelujah. And Lord will help us. Amen. Praise God. Please, let's have the offering. We'll be done in 10 minutes. And then we'll have our confession.
Amen.
So whoever wrote this, if you need to see me, you can see me later. But I think I've done justice. Do we all agree with what I said? So everybody agrees. No controversy.